Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. The Russian media comes down hard on the vice president. Dick Cheney is being taken to task over harsh criticism of Russia and President Vladimir Putin. His comments are being characterized as the start of a new Cold War. Cheney's words Thursday at a conference in Lithuania drew a comparison to Winston Churchill's famed Iron Curtain speech and reflected the deepening distrust between Washington and the newly assertive Kremlin. In his speech, Cheney accused Russia of cracking down on religious and political rights and of using its energy reserves as tools of intimidation or blackmail. Who'll replace Porter Goss as CIA director? While no official reason for Goss's release has been given, a senior administration official says the National Intelligence Director, John Negroponte, had White House support when he told Goss it might be time for him to go. The one-time Florida congressman says the agency is sailing well, but that wasn't always the case. So many employees left under his early tenure that the White House Intelligence Committee's top Democrat said the CIA was in free fall. Just 2 weeks ago, Goss announced the firing of a top CIA analyst in connection with leaks about secret CIA prisons in the press. Such dismissals are highly unusual. The Iraqi war is the defining problem for the Bush administration. That from former Secretary of State Colin Powell. Powell, in a speech at the World Congress of Information Technology in Texas, says the U.S. has to remain free and open even while it's conducting a war on terror. Powell also says the U.S. has to come to a difficult moment when Iraqi forces have to be built quickly and a government has to be forged that Iraqis can support. Deaths in common in the West Bank. Palestinians say four of the five militants killed by Israeli missiles in the West Bank were related to a top militant commander. Officials say at least three Israeli missiles landed in a field in the West Bank where militants were training for the Popular Resistance Committees, an umbrella group that's taken responsibility for numerous rocket attacks in Israel. New evidence shows that a teen's boot camp death was caused by suffocation. That a very different result from the conclusion of the first autopsy, which blamed a usually benign blood disorder. Dr. Vernod Adams says Martin Anderson died because of actions of the guards at the boot camp. The report says hands blocked the 14-year-old's mouth and that forced inhalation of ammonia fumes caused his upper airways to be blocked. In the statement, Adams confirmed that Anderson did have sickle cell trait. Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza.
Bienvenidos, so many distinguished Hispanic Americans. Jardín de Rosas, mi casa es su casa.
Hey, good evening, truth seekers. Bienvenidos or buenas noches or whatever. Welcome to the Cinco de Moron edition of the Molloy program here on Air America. Frankly, you know, it's Friday night. I hope you're dealing with a huge margarita and maybe some fine Mexican herbs and spices. I'm sure the guacamoron is. Okay, maybe today pickles might be hogging the libations. You never know. We have a quote from Pickles here in a couple of minutes. It's a little bit screwy. It's a little screwy. We do have some more on sounds in Espanol to share with you this evening, and the one of Pickles I think you'll enjoy. It's really Pickles. It's not Pickles Theater. It's really Pickles. And Simple Scotty had his last press briefing today. But we're going to save that bit of goodness for you till Monday. All right? So you'll just have to figure out something else to do in the meantime. I don't know. You know, it is Friday. Hey, I saw this on one of the blog sites, the Democratic Underground, Robert Paulson's Journal. It says, too bad that Patrick Kennedy didn't just shoot a lawyer in the face. Because if he had, I don't think mainstream media would be so obsessed with the possibility that preferential treatment might have occurred at the time of the accident. If he'd only shot a lawyer in the face, we wouldn't hear any discussion on television about the possibility that he might have been drunk at the time of the accident. No discussion of how suspicious that no blood test was taken at the time of the shooting. No, if he had only blasted his hunting buddy's face off, we would have more time to spend on Patrick Fitzgerald meeting with Judge Walton on the Plame case. We might see top-of-the-hour coverage on Portugas's resignation and the suspicious timing of it in connection with the intelligence link to the Watergate hooker scandal, because it's not as if mainstream media would dare employ a double standard, right? Very good, Robert Paulson's Journal. I certainly agree with that. The coverage on the Kennedy thing is astonishing. I am never failed to have my head spun by what television media can do, television news organizations can do, whether cable or mainstream or whatever. It's unbelievable. And one more from a blog, Detroit Mark. Detroit Mark. He starts this way. Breaking news, Kennedy drunk. Let's face it, that's what you thought when you first saw CNN splash this nothing story across the screen. You thought it was a replay of the Ted Kennedy Chappaquiddick incident. And then when it wasn't, you thought to yourself, oh, well, those Kennedys are all a bunch of drunks. Admit it. You fell for it. And worse, it's precisely what they wanted you to think. Because otherwise, the story doesn't work. You even bought that garbage CNN peddled about it being a crash. Have you seen the damage? I've gotten worse in the parking lot at the local grocery store. It was a scrape, literally. CNN began the 10 a.m. hour with this news. It's 10:10 a.m. and they're still going. They're using phrases like, Capitol Hill is rattled, and questions of impropriety. Now let me ask you why you give a blank about this story. When the Downing Street memos broke, CNN stood mute. When the tortured Abu Ghraib story broke, CNN waited until they had to cover it because the blogs were hammering it and making points. When there were allegations that Irving Libby would come under indictment, it was Coase and Raw Story who covered it. CNN looked the other way. But when a Kennedy takes a couple of pills and scrapes the paint on the rear bumper of his car, it's the lead story. Well, now it's 10:12 a.m., and Brian Todd has just gotten breaking news. The possible charges against Kennedy. Don't want to miss this. God knows. Detroit Mark.
Yeah, have you been watching not what was said about Kennedy, about Patrick Kennedy, but just the coverage. I did a thing today where anytime I was near television, we have three of them at the house, and usually at least one is on. And I played this little game all day long. When I would come into a room in the house where a television was on, the rule of the game said I would have to sit down. I had to stop whatever I was doing. Did you ever play Ring Up when you were a kid? If you didn't grow up in the urban north, you don't know what I'm talking about. But we used to play Ring Up. So it was kind of like that. As soon as I saw a television on, freeze! I had to sit down and stay right there, couldn't move. And that was rule one. Rule two of the game, as soon as they went to a Kennedy story, I could get up and leave. And I swear to God, at no time today was I required to sit for longer than maybe 50 seconds. Even this afternoon or at noon, whenever it is that CNN now goes to CNN International for international reporting. The anchor on CNN International is this old guy who was old when I got there to CNN in 2000. Of course, I shouldn't be calling an anchor old, but on the other hand, he just looks so bad. He really does. Well, I shouldn't be saying that either, should I? I've seen video of me on television. What a shock. But at no point today did I have to spend more than 50 seconds in front of the television until a Kennedy story came on. And then I got to get up and go back to what I was doing. The game gets really intense if you've drunk a lot of coffee and you're really playing the game, and you know, no one there to make sure that you're playing by the rules, but you're really playing by the rules, and you've drunk a lot of coffee, and you're on your way to the bathroom, because you never really own coffee, you just rent it. And you're on the way to the bathroom, and you stick your head in to see what's on TV. Oops! And you have to sit down, because it's not a Kennedy, and you can't move, and you keep going, come on, come on, come on, come on. 50 seconds, that was the max. No, we're not going to talk about it tonight. We're going to talk about Porter Goss, partly one of the stories that's kind of astonishing to me. Somebody has screwed up here real bad, because you don't have a major story like Peter Goss or Parker Goss or Porter Goss. What the hell is it? Porter Goss resigning on the same day that you have a Kennedy story out there. The right wing and the mainstream media wants to milk the Kennedy story for everything they can. Oh, my God. And then this freak Porter Goss interrupts the flow and resigns ahead of the CIA. Oh, quick, cover the Porter Goss story. Quick, so we can get back to the real story, Patrick Kennedy. So something is weird here. Something is out of whack. What's missing? The firm hand of Karl Rove, who I understand already received a sealed indictment, got to open it, and probably realizes that he is in trouble up to his eyeballs. The snakehead is in deep doo-doo. So he couldn't manipulate things today. And Porter Goss went just completely off the reservation, as they like to say in the White House, and wound up resigning. Now, why did he resign? Who knows? It could be just your typical infighting. The guy that's going to replace him, you watch this, General Michael Hayden, who is Negroponte's deputy. Hayden is the one who, along with Negroponte, advocate the unrestricted, unbridled, unchecked right of anybody in intelligence in the Bush crime family to listen in or open or invade your house anytime they want to. This guy is a real Nazi with Brezhnevian overtones. He's going to be the one who probably will replace Porter Goss. So this story breaks today, right in the middle of the Kennedy thing. Oh, my God, who let that happen? Who let that happen? Now, another story is that he resigned to spend more time with Hooker. He resigned to spend more time with his family. Let's see. Bolton tapped Tony Snow to replace McClellan. Maybe he can get Sean Hannity. No. Alan Combs to step in and take charge of this. No. Ed Schultz to step in and take charge of the CIA. You think?
Let the music move your feet.
Move your feet.
It's the rhythm of the island. And like sugar cane so sweet, yeah. If you want to do the conga, you've got to listen to the...
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
Do you want to know what's really going on in U.S. foreign and domestic policy? Then read Noam Chomsky's brilliant new book, Failed States. The New York Times calls Noam Chomsky a global phenomenon, perhaps the most widely read voice on foreign policy on the planet. Now, the best-selling author exposes our use of military force for what it is, a warning sign that America has become as dangerous as the failed states we claim we're trying to fix. Read Failed States by Noam Chomsky, new in hardcover from Metropolitan Books.
I'm Jorge, too. That means George.
I'm Jorge, too. All right, the phone number here is 866-303-2270. Once again, tonight, this has been so much fun this week, taking phone calls for a change on this program. A short week. We didn't come back until Tuesday, but we might as well finish up the week the way we started, with as many calls as we can. I would like our audience, national and international, to hear what you folks are saying. So if you would like to get online now, the number is 866-303-2270. You want to do it? Let's do some of these sound bites, all right? You want to start with Pickles? Or you want to let Pickles wait? What do you want to do? Okay, let's do Laura Pickles Bush. This was an interview Wednesday? I believe it was on Wednesday on CNN with John King. And, you know, just in time for Cinco de Mayo, Pickles does a major flip-flop on singing the national anthem in Spanish in this interview with John King. First she says she doesn't see anything wrong with it. And then King reminds her that her husband said the national anthem should only be sung in English. He reminds her 30 seconds or 10 seconds later. She quickly reverses her position. Even weirder. This family is so, whoops, is so freaked out. That's what I was going to say. She starts to talk about hymns sung in Swahili. Okay, so Patrick Kennedy got busted for doing Ambien. You know what Ambien will do to you? God, there's a drug. I'll tell you, 6 months from now, when the results start to come in again on Ambien, woo, is that going to be pulled off the market? But anyway, here she is talking about hymns in Swahili and national anthem in Spanish. No, not Spanish. Yes. No. They're all nuts. Even the ones that marry into the family. They've got to be someone that, if it's a woman marries in, well, there's only the four boys, I guess. If a woman marries in, she's got to have at least killed her former boyfriend. Once she's in the family, she's got to at least try to smuggle stuff in from France. I mean, these are the elemental requirements. Well, you listen. Does King say this? Okay, let's start with John King and then Pickles.
One of the controversies is this new Spanish language version of the national anthem. Your husband, the president, said he thinks it should only be in English. But if you go to the State Department website, you can find it in, I think, four languages. Secretary Rice says she's heard a rap version of the national anthem.
But we've all heard a lot of different versions,
what's
like at the Super Bowl every year. I don't think there's anything wrong with singing it in Spanish. The point is, it's the United States national anthem. And what people want is it to be sung in a way that respects the United States and our culture. At the same time, we are a nation of immigrants. We are a nation with many, many languages because immigrants come and bring their languages.
Is that an issue on which you disagree with your husband? He says it should be sung in English.
Well, I think it should be sung in English, of course.
But you also said in other
languages. It's like reading hymns in the hymnal. I love it when I look at the bottom of Amazing Grace and there are the words in the Methodist hymnal in Swahili.
Well, I'll tell you what, Pickles. I was sentenced to about 10 years in the Methodist Church, and I never saw in the hymnal "Amazing Grace" footnoted in Swahili. I'm sorry, Pickles.
It's Pickles' magic hymnal.
It must be the magic.
She only sees after she smoked her special cigarette.
The magic hymnal. I see. Woo! Oh God, these people! I swear to God. Okay, the Guacamoron himself, it's time for the annual, tonight is the annual Molloy Show Cinco de Moron celebration, of course, all night. That's what the music's about. And that means you get to hear the Guacamoron stammer around in Spanish. Just a tad here tonight as he welcomes all of our little dusky brethren from south of the border to La Casa Blanca. Just for kicks.
Bienvenidos, welcome to the White House. You may have noticed the celebration is not on the Cinco de Mayo. It's on the Cuarto de Mayo. Such an important holiday, we thought we would start early. I appreciate the ambassadors who have joined us. Ambassador de Mexico was with us today. Hello, gracias. Y también, mi amigo, the ambassador from the United States to Mexico, Antonio Garza. Welcome you both. Glad you're here.
Well, ¿cómo se dice en español, monkey? ¿Eh? ¿Cómo se dice en español, monkey? What is it, la chimpa? I don't know. I love it when he talks like this in English because he thinks, well, you know, I have some people in front of me who are Espanoles, and if I talk like this with this little sing-song to my English, it means that I am really trying to speak in Spanish here in La Casa Blanca or something. Gracias y también, mi amigo. Never mind.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Ooh,
are you okay?
Oh, it's my arthritis pain.
Here, try my Aleve.
People with arthritis are sharing their good news about Aleve. Just two Aleve have the strength to stop arthritis pain all day. That would take 8 extra strength Tylenol. So try Aleve and see for yourself. Then share your good news. Comparison based on 24-hour label dosing. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
May is Arthritis Month. Join Aleve and the Arthritis Foundation for the annual Arthritis Walk taking place nationwide. For more information, visit AleveGoodNews.com.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Yeah, definitely. These guys put on a killer show.
Great, let's go.
Wait, it's just the open band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making...
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
The lies, incompetence, greed, and pure stupidity of the Bush crime family are all revealed in the game Impeached. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Mike Malloy. And if you despise this crime family like I do, you need to visit ImpeachBushGame.com and buy the only board game that's bold enough to tell it like it is. Go to ImpeachBushGame.com, buy your game, and check out the Bush, Satan Rove, and Deadeye Dick voodoo dolls. I've got my game, and I'm sticking pins in my Bush voodoo doll right now! So visit ImpeachBushGame.com and join in on the fun today.
be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Okay, let's go back to the Guacamoron celebrating Cinco de Mayo on Cuatro de Mayo at the White House. I don't know why. Anyway, I love listening to him speaking his what he believes to be something that is kind of like, maybe possibly a little bit like Spanish. He'll drop a word in every now and then. Anyway, in this one, Bush stresses the importance of speaking English. Bush speaking English. There's a joke in there if you look quick enough.
We believe in the ideals of freedom and independence that Cinco de Mayo represents. Here in the United States, Mexican Americans have helped build our country and helped shape our culture. Mexican Americans have made our nation more vibrant and more hopeful cada día. Those who come here to start new lives in our country have responsibility to understand what America's about, and the responsibility to learn the English language so they can better understand our national character and participate fully in American life. That's what we want.
Oh. I wonder if he understands what Cinco de Mayo is really about. It's about revolution. It's about slaughtering Europeans who had the temerity to go to Mexico and be the kings and the rulers and so on and so forth. I wonder if he understands. He says, we believe in the ideals of freedom and independence. And yet, this thug and his cohorts do everything they can to destroy freedom. So he says, those who come here to start new lives in our country have a responsibility to understand what America's about, like you do, huh? And the responsibility to learn the English language so they can better understand our national character. I'll tell you what, Raisin Brain, better they not know too much about our national character, or they might get muy pissed at the way you've wrecked the nation. Huh? Comprende? Last one from La Chimpa on being a compassionate conservative to all of our little dusky brethren south of the Rio Grande.
I support strengthening our borders.
What?
And I support a temporary worker program that would match willing workers with American employers. A compassionate society.
Go to sleep.
Rejects a system that treats
people
as if they're something to be traded.
Drugs.
Honors human rights and human dignity.
Give me a pill.
Helps people out of the shadows of society. Treats people in a decent and humane way.
Oh, my God. Just when the Ambien wears off, what's the other one kicks in? Not Valium, but what's the other one? What's the one that took the place of Valium? Come on, Kathy.
Ativan?
No.
Halcyon?
No.
Wellbutrin?
No.
God, I'm running out.
Oh, what is the one that took the place?
Soma?
No, come on. Xanax. Right.
Placidil?
Wait, play that again, because what does he say? Treats people in a decent and humane...
I support strengthening our borders, and I support a temporary worker program that would match willing workers with American employers.
Go to sleep.
A compassionate society rejects a system that treats
people
as if they're... something to be traded.
Oh, my God.
Honors human rights and human dignity. Helps people out of the shadows of society.
Treats
people in a decent and humane way.
You know, it would be so funny, except for the fact that even as we speak, American soldiers and Marines are being blown to pieces, and Iraqi civilians are being turned into red mist along with their children. Oh, well. Porter Goss is gone, as we mentioned. who knows what's going on here? This administration is tanking. It's very clear. It's flaying itself into some sort of hideous contortion that is going to result in, I don't know, maybe the American public will have had enough, so that this November, every one of these people will be tossed out of office, so that then, in the legislative branch, so that then we can go to work on the executive branch by impeaching the bastards. How do you think? But as I mentioned earlier, for Porter Goss and Chucklenuts to sit down and discuss Goss's leaving in such a controlled, friendly atmosphere today is weird. Something terribly, terribly wrong is going on here. This was a Kennedy day. This was supposed to be a Kennedy day. Even though usually Friday is dumping ground day, they usually don't dump until, 5 o'clock in the afternoon or 6 o'clock at 5 o'clock Eastern time, so that the assignment editors on the East Coast can't pull together a story for that night's broadcast. You know, they only have maybe 90 minutes and the anchors are too stupid to improvise. And the assignment editors are not sure. Well, we've got bureau chiefs all around, but, oh, God, they're all gone. It's Friday. That's usually the way that works. But this happened early enough today that it gave everyone a chance to comment and observe and question and wonder. Now, the two leading stories are that the clash between Porter Goss and John Negroponte and Negroponte's lieutenant, this General Hayden. Don't forget, Hayden is the one who made the blatant appeal the blatant statement after statement after statement at the press club in D.C. a couple of months ago that this government and he, General Hayden, had a perfect right, nay, an obligation to pry into the Fourth Amendment. In other words, what he's saying, the Fourth Amendment is dead. The Fourth Amendment is no longer. It was great fun back in the 1700s, but this is now, and the Fourth Amendment is over. It's finished. Go away, Fourth Amendment, is essentially what Hayden said. And the number crunchers say that he's going to be the new director of the CIA. So Porter Goss and John Negroponte. Negroponte wanted to fold much of the operations of the CIA into his new operation, Negroponte's new operation, as the great director of national intelligence, whatever the hell it is. The director of national intelligence, this new agency, another new agency, secretive KGB-style agency put together by the Bush crime family. And Porter Goss was resisting. Porter Goss used to be a CIA agent, I guess, for about 10, 12 years. So there's that story, a conflict, a political infighting, grabs for power. And when people like this start grabbing for power and they come up with handfuls of short, the other guy's short hairs, it gets kind of nasty. This is power we're talking about, right? The other story, the other front runner, is that Porter Goss is somehow connected to the Duke Cunningham Watergate Hotel sex worker scandal, where Jack Abramoff provided for anyone that Duke Cunningham, as he was ripping millions of dollars off of the American taxpayer and defense contractors, Abramoff would work through his network of procurers and bring in women or children or underage or overage, whatever, voluntary or involuntary sex workers to satisfy some of the, shall we say, dedicated appetites of some of the Republicans in Washington, whether they were in the legislative branch of government or working as lobbyists or actually in the defense industry. So there is that story that maybe Porter Goss might have indulged in a little bit of, extracurricular activity with an errant boy or girl. Who knows? So those are the two stories that have the inside track right now. There may be a third or fourth story. The point is, look what's happening in the bowels, probably literally, of government in the Bush crime family. Look at it. Look at all of it. Look at it. Every place you look, corruption, ineptitude, incompetence, fraud, deceit,
destruction of the U.S. Constitution. Graft, theft, lies. Look at it. Look at it. Everybody else is. Every single intelligence operation on the planet is watching what is happening here. Because they're terrified that one of these half-wits is going to go off the deep end and go completely postal. Oh, they're not going to come back to work with a couple of handguns and a rifle. They're going to start checking out the codes on how to release some of these nukes. Let's get this show on the road!
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Resistance Radio.
Nine before the hour. I'm laughing because of this email I'm going to read. But first, Bruce emailed in and said the Spanish word for monkey is chango. Chango? Don't we have a friend who named their kid Chango? That was after, I thought it was after a blues musician, Chango. Chango. Well, maybe that was the musician's nickname, monkey. I don't know. Okay. Kathy, you ready? This concerns you. This email comes in from AJ. AJ writes, I'm concerned that Kathy knows about Placidil. I'm a pharmacist and haven't dispensed Placidil in a good 10 years. And on that occasion, it was to knock out an overly hyper horse. I hope I don't read about Kathy passed out on the streets of Atlanta with a bottle of Boone's Farm in one hand and a grubby bottle of Placidil in the other. I hope Kathy isn't headed in a Limbaugh direction. Just kidding, but I really couldn't believe my ears when I heard Placidil brought up. Like a blast from the pharmaceutical past. Like Quaaludes.
Oh, Quaaludes. Don't get me started. Memories. No, actually, well, it's a long story, but no.
Well, didn't your grandparents?
Your grandmother had Alzheimer's. She wouldn't give her Placidil.
Oh, you don't?
But I have a family who's been interested in pharmacopoeia for years, and we'll just leave it like that.
Well, I think people should know that both your maternal grandmother and grandfather were PhDs in psychology. They were both practicing psychologists at a time when women, your grandmother was, I never met either of Kathy's grandparents. They were long passed away when I came on the scene. Her grandparents lived to be very old age, and they were both clinical psychologists. And I guess
that explains a lot.
Although they didn't prescribe medication, they understood it. I have read some of the notes now that both of these folks are dead and gone. Some of the client notes or the case notes from Kathy's grandfather, who was also Lieutenant Colonel in the United States Army. He was spent many years as an Army psychologist and worked at spent some time at the federal penitentiary here in Atlanta as the
working
yeah as the clinical psychologist. In charge of some well-known criminals doing interviews. So,
yeah, he interviewed Al Capone, which seriously tells you how old he was.
Right. So, you know, I noticed about Kathy Bay's family, her background, that both of her maternal grandparents were clinicians. But that's why I had to read this email, because for Kathy to do pharmaceutical drugs would be, I mean, so impossible. You know, I mean, so if you knew this woman, you would swear she was a Sunday school teacher. Well, okay.
Stop.
All right, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. Here's another one. This is from Guillermo in Miami. Mano is the Spanish translation of monkey. Chango is an Afro-Cuban god used by the Santeros. Okay, which is it? Chango? Mano? I'm just looking for the Spanish word for monkey, that's all. All right, have we got time to get a call in here? Oh, plus, you've got a very interesting soundbite coming up next, right after the break here, from the Limbaugh program. Was it today?
I'm working on it. Apparently, Limbaugh had a few words about Patrick Kennedy, and I think he was played by a caller.
I think he was played, too. We're gonna listen to it when we come back. I heard a little bit of it, and it's funny as hell. Let's do some quick phone calls here. You want to? Chuck, who's calling from Phoenix. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hey.
I enjoy your show, Mike.
Thank you, sir.
You really got to me last night with your monkey driving the car into Walmart.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. I would like to know why there's never any comment on the hypocrisy of these people. I didn't hear a word about any investigation about the sheriff's department in Texas. when Cheney shot his friend.
No, there was none. Of course not.
Well, there's now an investigation of the Capitol Police, and they're going to discipline the night commander or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's beyond belief. I just can't understand how this machine gets away with this.
This is how Republicans expect the world to operate. If they claim to be Christians and anally rape a five-year-old boy, it's because God told them to. If they say that they, if they demonstrate their insanity by invading countries, it's because God told them to. If they commit crimes against their fellow Americans and crimes against humanity, it's because God understands that we all fall short of the grace of God and they should be forgiven. You understand? But if a Democrat or a normal person does anything even remotely similar to this, then let's call out for investigations. That's just how it works, Chuck.
They're being aided and abetted by the national press, too.
Well, sure they are.
I was talking to a friend in New York today, and she told me that she heard on the news that Patrick Kennedy was drunk and on some kind of drugs.
Yeah, well, of course. Of course
that's what she got out of it.
Yeah.
So they didn't explain anything. They just made it appear that he was drunk and he was criminal.
This is America, the in the sixth year of the age of Bush. And, the media is totally turned into a pack of sex workers itself. Chuck, I got to leave it there. Thank you, Chuck. I appreciate it. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
I think the national anthem ought to be sung in English. And I think people who want to be a citizen of this country ought to learn English. And they ought to learn to sing the national anthem in English.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza. Porter Goss is gone as CIA director, and some on Capitol Hill say he may have been pushed. While no official reason for Goss's release has been given, a senior administration official says National Intelligence Director John Negroponte had White House support when he told Goss it might be time for him to go. The one-time Florida congressman says the agency is sailing well, But that wasn't always the case. So many employees left under his early tenure that the White House Intelligence Committee's top Democrats said the CIA was in free fall. Just 2 weeks ago, Goss announced the firing of a top CIA analyst in connection with leaks about secret CIA prisons in the press. Such dismissals are highly unusual. Patrick Kennedy heads to rehab, that from the Rhode Island congressman saying he needs help with challenges with addiction and depression. In a Capitol Hill news conference, Kennedy says he realized he needed more help after an accident in which he crashed his car into Capitol Hill's security barrier early yesterday. Kennedy says he doesn't remember getting out of bed, being pulled over by police, or being issued traffic tickets after the minor crash. Kennedy's father, Massachusetts Senior Senator Ed Kennedy, issued a statement praising his son for taking full responsibility, admitting a drug problem, and taking steps to correct it. The Russian media comes down hard on Vice President Dick Cheney. Cheney is being taken to task over harsh criticism of Russia and President Vladimir Putin. His comments are being characterized as the start of a new Cold War. Cheney's words Thursday at a conference in Lithuania drew a comparison to Winston Churchill's famed Iron Curtain speech and reflected the deepening distrust between Washington and the newly assertive Kremlin. In his speech, Cheney accused Russia of cracking down on religious and political rights and of using its energy reserves as tools of intimidation or blackmail. The Iraq War is the defining problem for the Bush administration, that from former Secretary of State Colin Powell. Powell, in a speech at the World Congress of Information Technology in Texas, says the U.S. has to remain free and open even while it's conducting a war on terror. Powell also says the U.S. has come to a difficult moment when Iraqi forces have to be built quickly and a government has to be forged that Iraqis can support. Powell last week told the BBC that during the planning stages of the war, he wasn't sure the U.S. had deployed a force large enough to oust Saddam Hussein and secure peace. New evidence shows that a teen boot camp death was caused by suffocation. That a very different result from the conclusion of the first autopsy. Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza.
entered the country illegally violate the law.
Welcome back. Seven past the hour. Tequila. God, I wish I had some right now. But they frown on that. The network frowns on their hosts perhaps drinking on the air.
We tried to get some tequila earlier tonight. We went to 4 Mexican restaurants in the neighborhood trying.
And the lineup, all the white people were out trying to be Mexican. Now, you see the Mexicans and the Irish now. They've given non-Mexican, non-Irish Americans an excuse to just get hammered and get crazy. An email here from a letter carrier in San Diego who writes, Mike, since you made that crack about going postal, I figure you owe us this. I'm just kidding. But my correspondent writes, on Saturday, May 13th, letter carriers across the country will pick up food donations left at your mailbox. What is it? That's Saturday week? Saturday week, yeah. This has to be the easiest way to donate food and help fellow Americans. Please ask your listeners to help us help others. Food banks at this time of year are usually in critical short supply, and our food drive gives them a boost. This is the 14th annual food drive by the National Association of Letter Carriers in conjunction with the U.S. Postal Service. The food drive is the largest one-day drive in the nation. Last year, letter carriers collected 70 million pounds of food. All right. Let's remember that, Kathy. Write it down, will you, since you're the secretary in the family. May 13th, and we'll put out some canned goods.
That's the day before Mother's Day, so
yeah,
easy to remember.
Yeah, asking for that, why do we not know about this?
We should toss in some Placidil.
This is the 14th for the letter carrier in our neighborhood. Oh, my God. It's like 6 miles between houses, 6 miles and 30 or 40 wolfhounds. We have coyotes in the neighborhood now. We've been listening to coyotes at night.
Not the kind that are smugglers across the border.
No.
Bush talks
no,
about
the
it.
Kind
actual
that...
screaming, freaking, you know, scare you to death at 3 in the morning. Come eat your dingo, eat your baby coyote.
Yeah, they are. They are scary. Kathy noticed when I was in Sacramento, I got a phone call one night and said, there's something behind the house. I said, I'm 1,800 miles away. Get the gun. Shoot it. You know. Okay. All right. Don't. People are going to write in and say, you're shooting. It might have been a fox. And in fact, it did kind of sound like. And plus, we have a whole herd of hunting owls that come out at night who swoop in these woods back here. And you talk about, what am I doing? I'm sorry. The postal carriers, this Saturday before, not tomorrow, but next Saturday, put something out in your mailbox for this food drive. That's a good idea. All right, I think I've got it now. Mono. Mono is monkey in Spanish. Everybody is sending in these emails talking about the difference between chango and mono. Somebody said, no, mono is your hand. Yeah, I know that. You know, mano a mano, I know that. But I guess I pronounced it wrong. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Steve is calling from Portland, Oregon. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, I'd like to thank you for taking my call. It's like therapy to be able to talk about this with you. But just if I could just put out a thought, they're trying this man right now, and they're talking about giving him the death penalty because he had prior knowledge of 9/11, they're saying. But how come, I don't understand how the president can just sit there and ignore planes that are hitting buildings and open a book on goats. And
right, you're talking about Musari. You know he's already been sentenced.
Yeah.
To life in prison.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. I agree. We brought this up too. If Musawi, who was in prison the day of the attacks, if he can be charged with aiding and abetting the terrorists by not talking about information that the government claims he knew, you're right. Why not Cheney and Bush and Rumsfeld and the rest of these filthy bastards who in concert with one another In the best case scenario, knew there was going to be attack on this country and did nothing. So I agree with you. I don't know what to say, Steve. I have no answer for that. I think they should be jailed for high crimes and misdemeanors, all of them.
Yeah, and then one last thing I want to ask you about too, and just put out there is, okay, we all know that the media is pretty much owned by the corporations. If I were a family member who lost somebody in the towers during 9/11 and I saw Bush sitting there reading a book ignoring all this about goats, I'd be enraged, but we never hear about anybody. There's got to be enraged family members, but we never hear mad at Bush, but we never hear about them in the media.
Well, I know infrequently, rather rarely, yeah. I think during the Musawi's trial, when evidence was being presented, tapes of Flight 93 that heretofore had never been released, all of the full weight of 9/11 was brought down on this poor ignorant bastard who was sitting in the dock waiting to find out whether or not he was going to be executed. And that was 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago. There were some family members who lost people either in the Trade Towers or in the Pentagon who were becoming outraged, exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, but you're right. Media did not cover that outrage or that sense of hypocrisy on the part of the government the way it should have been covered. You're right. The media in this country is terrified. They're afraid to do anything, and they won't do anything. A, and B, they are so bought and paid for now by the corporations that own them that I think anyone that goes to journalism school these days and because he or she wants to get into mainstream media is a sucker and a fool. I might as well just go to work for the Bush crime family.
Yeah, and could I ask you one last question on my way out?
Sure.
Mike, why do you think Bush just sat there like that? Just let, you know, when people, when you, the Secret Service comes in and tells them.
I don't know. I have no idea. I was dumbfounded too. This guy, maybe he was terrified. Maybe he didn't expect the Trade Towers to be hit. Maybe what they expected was that something was going to be hit in Florida or California. You know, maybe a bridge. Maybe a few people in a theater or a shopping mall were going to be blown up. I don't think they realized that it was going to be the Trade Towers. If they did realize it was going to be the Trade Towers, maybe just the shock of realizing that what they allowed happened.
Yeah.
I don't know. The only other explanation is they were totally innocent, and Bush is such an incompetent, out of his depth little piglet that he didn't know what to do, and nobody knew what to do because these people couldn't run a county commission, much less the United States government. Anyway, that's the best I can come up with. All right.
Thanks, Mike. Good talking.
All right, Steve. Appreciate it. Tim is calling from San Diego. Tim, welcome to the program. Gosh, you just called in. We got you right away. Okay.
Merci beaucoup.
Right. Is that Spanish? No. I'm playing.
Why not? I think the enlightened people realize that if you live within 100 miles of Canada, French should be mandatory. If you live within 100 miles of Mexico, you should, for society's sake, learn Spanish. It's a pretty easy language to learn.
Yeah, well, I think all the Romance languages are pretty easy to learn. If you've had a couple of years of Latin, like a lot of us have, and English, the Romance languages are a piece of cake.
Exactamente. Anyways, your friend of mine, Don Rumsfeld, a day ago, he stated, unless I'm mistaken, that he's not in the intelligence business.
He said that.
Which reminded me of that classic oxymoron, no pun intended, oxymoron known as military intelligence.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, I haven't heard anyone mention that. And then the other comment I wanted to make is...
Hey, listen, let me get you, hold on. I'll come back. Yeah, I've got a break here, so I'll come back to you, Tim. This is Air America. Stick around. I'm Mike Molloy.
Como genio libre, dejo a
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Talk about unsanitary. A leading consumer testing magazine warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums or wear a dust mask. Imagine vacuuming your house wearing a dust mask. Friends, try my hypoallergenic 8-pound Auric XL free for 30 days. It's 99.99% dust-free. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have Geico motorcycle insurance. Because Geico covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Hey, truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
Me clavaste un puñal por la espalda, y si
traicionando el amor que te daba. Me cortaste de plano la sala.
21 past the hour. Raul writes in, Chango is only in Mexico, and it is slang. The correct word for monkey is mono. You can also say simio. Bush is an example of mono. Okay, back to where were we? I know we left somebody holding on here, Tim in San Diego. Okay, Tim, thanks for your patience.
Muchísimas, Miguel.
Yeah.
Actually, here in San Diego, chango could mean ape.
Ape?
Yeah. Okay. Real hairy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, a couple other things I wanted to mention is that, Bush, in his wonderful speech, he said anyone who wants to be a citizen needs to learn English. And I say anyone who wants to be president needs to learn English.
Yeah, well,
this is the same guy. This is the same guy who was reported that within a short time after the 9/11 attacks, before there was any announcement of the anthrax exposure at the postal facilities, this guy took Cipro. He was given Cipro, which has terrible reactions on the system. It's very hard on your system, but he took it. Mm-hmm. He never denied it, which tells me he knew what was going to happen. So I say we bring back a great 60-70 song and play it day in and day out. Bring the boys home. Bring them back alive. That's the only hope. And let John Murtha and John Conyers lead our country strongly, as it deserves to be, proudly, as it deserves to be, rightly, to where it deserves to be. Peace and freedom. Thank you.
All right.
Great show, Miguel.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate you checking in. Jake is calling from Los Angeles. Jake, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
Hey, it's going great, Jake.
Listen, I called you a few weeks ago, and we didn't really have that much time to talk. Look, I saw Loose Change a couple times now,
good.
And I'm really not sure what to make of it. I can't really wrap my mind around it because, it's not, on one hand, it's not hard to believe because of all the other crimes and misdemeanors that the administration has made, and but at the same time, it's pretty big. It's like, I don't know what to do. What to think?
Well, I certainly can understand that. That was the same impression I've had when I looked. I've looked at over the past three or four years some of these videos that have put together. Here's what I think. Perhaps you need to do. I don't know. This is what I've done. Do you know who Rabbi Michael Lerner is?
No, I don't. I'll write that down.
Michael Lerner, L-E-R-N-E-R. He is the editor, I believe, of Tikkun magazine, and William Sloan Coffin, who recently died. Obviously, Rabbi Lerner is Jewish. William Sloan Coffin was a Protestant. He was the the chaplain at Yale. Well, I guess he was, among other things. But he was a very clear, outspoken critic of going all the way back to the war in Vietnam. Both of these men have suggested, William Sloan Coffin before he died, and Rabbi Michael Lerner just recently, that those out there who are questioning the official story on what occurred on this country on September 11th should continue to question, because it is clear, one thing is clear, that It just doesn't add up to a logical scenario. In other words, these two men, who are much smarter than you and I would ever hope to be, are suggesting that they felt or feel the same confusion, perhaps, that you feel, that I've felt, and that the answer to this is to continue to investigate, to continue to question, to continue to hold suspect, and these are my words, not theirs, to continue to hold suspect the official story that's put out there by the Bush crime family. Now, when people like Michael Lerner and William Sloan Kaufman make these kinds of statements, I certainly take notice. Do you understand what I mean by that? Okay.
So
if you are confused, if you're not clear on this, if it's too big for you to handle, me too. Okay? I'm right there with you. I'm confused. It's too big for me to handle. If I find out, or if I were to find out, and I think millions of Americans feel this way, that this government that's in place in this country now actually caused this to happen, then all bets are off, and I think most people would start making plans to overthrow the government of George W. Bush. I honestly believe that would occur, because I don't know how many of us could stand the idea that we are run by a cabal of criminals who murdered 3,000 people on that day and then blamed it on someone else. Hey, I got to leave it there. Thanks for checking in. I do appreciate your call, Jake. We'll be right back. This is Air America.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Your beautiful tree, attacked by insects, and the damage isn't pretty. So backed by Bayer's 100-plus years of crop science expertise, Bayer Advanced created Tree and Shrub Insect Control with Merit, the only product to protect your tree for a full 12 months without any spraying. Just mix and pour at the trunk, and it's shielded from roots to tops. We don't hate bugs. We just love trees. Bayer Advanced Tree and Shrub Insect Control. Better science, better results.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks.
Okay, Kenny, try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please.
When I do it, I feel the blood rushing through me, and I keep going back for more.
Carmen Castillo is under the influence of Dana, her volunteer trainer.
Tuck your chin, Carmen.
By spending just one day a week with kids like Carmen, Dana helps them develop interests that keep them away from drugs. Be a coach, a mentor, a volunteer, because you have something to offer. Log on to helpyourcommunity.org or call 877-KIDS-313. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Who was the first automaker to introduce factory-installed safety belts and roll stability control? First to introduce emergency trunk releases and offer head and chest side airbags? And who is working on future safety innovations like lane departure warning and blind spot alert systems? It's Ford Motor Company. Ford engineers are working to help protect children, keep families safer, and save lives. Ford, driving American innovation.
Those who enter the country illegally violate the law.
Twenty-six before the hour, those who entered the country illegally violate the law. This guy had a brainstem transplant at some point that went horribly awry. You know, I just know that happened. All right, I think we're ready to do this now. Do I have anybody on hold? No, I don't. Okay. A woman called Russia's program. Was this today, Kathy? Was it today? And without any introduction from me, I want you to hear the way this conversation went. We're going to do it in two chunks, both of which are about 2 minutes long. Is that right? Okay, let's just kick back. Refill your margarita glass or whatever you're doing here to celebrate the defeat of the French in or something like that in Mexico. and listen to this phone call to the EIB network today.
Thanks. Rush, I can't believe that you are coddling this Patrick Kennedy the way you are, this poor guy who needs his father and everybody else to come in and help him. He's a grown man, and he's had plenty of money. He has plenty of money to take care of his problems long ago before any of this crazy stuff started happening. Why are you excusing him like this?
I'm not. I am not excusing him at all. Right now, look, Alice, I'm glad you called, because if I was unclear, I'm happy for the opportunity to say this again. There is a cover-up going on here. He is being given preferential treatment over somebody like Cynthia McKinney or over anybody else. But that's a police problem. I don't know what he did to engineer it. We don't know if his dad was involved in it. All we know is that when supervisors at the Capitol Hill Police were told about this, they took over the case and they sent the line cops who were out there home, and they had somebody drive the kid home, or the young man home, or Patrick K. He's not a kid anymore. There's a huge cover-up going on about this, and it's not right.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not because of race. It doesn't have anything to do with the difference between him and Cynthia McKinney. It's about money.
Well, that's what the left would say. I'm just simply trying to relate here. Maybe it is about money. I don't know, but if it's about the Kennedy name versus the McKinney name, I covered all of that. Now, I had to say something, Alice, that caused you to must have hit your button. What was it I said that's got you upset? Because nothing I said is inaccurate.
Well, because in spite of the fact that you're saying that there must have been something done wrong, and there's a cover-up going on, you're sympathetic to him. You're sympathetic because this poor guy needs help. He's a human being crying out for help.
I didn't say that. I didn't
say
he's crying out for help. I said there are a lot of warning flags here, and his family apparently doesn't care. The Democratic Party is more interested in making sure this doesn't hurt their electoral chances than getting a human being straightened out.
Okay, now up to this point, it's if you're like me, when I heard this call and I didn't listen to his program, Kathy got the sound for me. I'm thinking, okay, here's somebody who is even a harder son of a bitch than Limbaugh, a more non-compassionate, ice cold, dead at the center caller. One of the archetypes of the Limbaugh program. There are several, and this is one of those archetypes, just an absolutely dead-at-the-center, soulless, fake Christian who questions why Rush is showing compassion for Patrick Kennedy. Now, that's what it sounds like. Let's go to the second part of the call.
Whatever charge comes out against him, it will be watered down, and I'm referring specifically I'm relating this specifically to the watered-down charges that you had to face with your problem, which you let get out of hand before you did something about it, the money to
but
take care of.
Wait a second. You're going to compare me to Patrick Kennedy's circumstance?
In a way.
How so?
Because you were brought up on charges.
Tell me where they're similar. I had a problem. I admitted it. I went and dealt with it. I have been clean
right.
from the painkillers for almost 2 years and 8 months.
I'm
went public. There was, wait a second now. There's no cover up. I sought and received help. I didn't endanger anybody else. In this case, there's a cover-up. There's no breathalyzer. I fought this for 2.5 years, and they wanted to charge me with much more than they did.
Well, why didn't they?
Well, you'd have to ask them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So,
well, if you think I got preferential treatment, you are out of your mind.
Well, what happened to that housekeeper?
Hang on a minute, Alan. I spent thousands of hours and millions of dollars dealing with lawyers. I fought this at every stage.
Would you just tell me and your audience, what happened to the housekeeper in the parking lot? Why was that never...
You know, well, this is something that... You're talking about people who sold a story to a tabloid publication.
Are you saying there was no connection? You didn't buy anything?
I am not going to dignify the details in that stupid story. The only thing I would ask you to consider is this, Alice. If you want to believe all that was true, how come none of it was pursued?
I'm talking about money. That's the whole point.
What
are you
money?
Saying you did not meet this housekeeper in the parking lot?
I'm not commenting on that. I'm not going to dignify it by doing so.
Well, that's how you're getting around it.
No, I'm not getting around anything. I'm answering your question. I'm not going to dignify such trifle.
Oh, my God. Now, you got to wonder about this caller, right? Huh? You got to wonder what if, excuse me, if she was a plant, somebody out to bust Russia's
big fat rear end.
There, thank you. If she was out to bust his rear end, she certainly had the right lead in, didn't she? Going after him because he was showing too much compassion. And somebody said, well, why did this phone call keep going on? And I think because if this was a deliberate setup by this caller, she's a genius. She completely roped him in to the point where if he would have hung up, when all of a sudden she made this hard left turn and started questioning him like a prosecutor.
What happened in the parking lot with the housekeeper?
Didn't
you take money? Didn't you give her money for a little shoebox full of OxyContin?
Right. I'm not going to dignify that.
Right, that was
sold a story to a tabloid.
That's right. Somebody who went to a tabloid. Oh, my God. It has nothing to do with tonight's program. We just thought we would give you some comic relief.
I may have a bit more later in the show, however, even though it has nothing to do with tonight's show.
Okay, well, I certainly would appreciate that. Back to phone calls here. John is calling from Jefferson, Missouri.
Hi.
Where are you calling from, John?
Jefferson, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Hey, John, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I saw you when you came up to UW-Whitewater.
Oh, yeah, that was a great trip.
Yeah, it was. It was. I was in the audience. And
We had fun that night.
We did. It was a good night. Well, Mike, I wanted to thank you for helping us get through this long national nightmare election without getting homicidal or suicidal, and I didn't get a chance to tell you that at Whitewater, so I'll tell you now. But what I wanted to ask you and maybe other listeners about is an interview I heard or I watched on television with Bush about a month and a half ago, and he was asked about the bird flu. And in a general sense, you know, what is the federal government response to the possible bird flu if some of these, you know, worst-case scenarios happened? And his response was explaining how he was involved in preparations to impose martial law. And I was going to ask if you had seen this.
We played that soundbite.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, we did.
I didn't know that, but I saw it on television, and I thought, well, wait a minute, here's the president being asked about an important public health issue, and he responds about martial law. You know, and I think that, you know, the moron in chief probably doesn't know that the government spends hundreds of millions of dollars on public health, and he probably would be shocked and outraged that, you know, that money is spent on socialism for public health issues. But I was going to ask you, do we need to be concerned about this kind of response to the public to the bird flu issue?
Well, one word answer, Katrina.
Exactly.
If in fact, and you know, I'm not sure what the proper response should be yet. And I'm not trying to waffle like so many people did about global warming. But if the bird flu now is on just about every continent except here in the Western Hemisphere,
mm-hmm.
and if it remains simply a virus that's transmitted from within the animal kingdom, exclusive of humans, then it's going to wreak havoc on the bird population, and maybe apparently it's spreading to some mammals now, which is not a good sign. But if it makes the jump to humans, yeah, we're in serious trouble. This could be a cataclysmic event.
And
it requires leadership to help us, first of all, understand completely what the threat is. Secondly, to do a crash program to develop vaccines or if nothing else, some sort of antidote to this, although that's really pushing it. But there's no leadership. Hold on a second. Let me do this break, and I'll come right back. So just stay where you are, and we'll finish this up when we come back. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
the policy decisions for a president dealing with an avian flu outbreak are difficult. One option is the use of a military that's able to plan and move.
Yeah, that sounds like martial law to me. All right, John, that's part of what you were talking about.
Yeah. The analogy that you brought up to Katrina is really apt, and it's very frightening because it shows the thinking of these right-wing, these far-right Republicans and these neocons, and it's very frightening. They fundamentally believe, I think, that the federal government is only there to wage war and to employ its various operations as centers of profit for themselves and their cronies. And beyond that, they don't have to do a damn thing for anybody.
Yeah, if somebody were to ask me for advice, and I hope nobody does, because I'm not sure yet how Kathy and I are going to handle this, but I think that from what I've read, CDC is right here in Atlanta, so we get the weekly morbidity and mortality morbidity report from CDC, and you can take a look in there and find all kinds of stuff that probably just, you know, I shouldn't be reading because it's spooky stuff and it makes me scared, and it's all about death and disease and epidemiology and so on and so forth. But if we get that report, or we hear, I have friends who work at CDC, if we get a report from them, an early warning report says, okay, it's been discovered in North America, or for that matter, South America or Central America, you know, this virus, then I guess the only plan that Kathy and I would have would be to start to keep ourselves out of the general population as much as we could, to not go out as much, to stay at home, to keep Molly at home. We work in a fairly isolated situation, and you know, I don't live in the city, so we don't come in contact, unless we want to, with people that much. The most contact we come into is, you know, when we go out. If we go to a restaurant or a movie theater or the farmer's market or the grocery store or whatever, yeah, we come in contact with people. And if this thing does manifest, does come to pass, and is easily transmittable between humans, then that's the only thing I can think to do. Now, in conjunction with that, I think everybody, just as a matter of course, in the while Bush is in office, I think that every family should have a supply, I don't know how much, 30-day supply of emergency this or emergency that, whether it's batteries or we have a couple of radios that were made in South Africa, these crank radios that you just crank them up. It uses kinetic energy. There's no power source required, no batteries, nothing. You know, some food, some water, and try to wait it out. That's the only thing I can think to do. But I think that sort of home planning, or emergency planning has been in effect since Bush was elected, because these sons of bitches are liable to do anything. They're liable to do anything. If it's not bird flu, it can be a nuclear attack on another country.
I truly believe that they believe that they have no responsibility other than to
that's right.
Have the government serve the needs of the very rich.
Right, exactly.
And corporations. Now, if you watched John Stewart the other night, he had a great one-liner about a recent announcement by the Department of Homeland Security about all the things that the State Departments of Health should not expect them to do in relation to the bird flu.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you heard it, but it was
I didn't. I'm sure the list included everything. A Bush administration, or the Bush crime family, wants no responsibility about anything. They are lying sons of bitches who are trying to kill the country, and they're succeeding. John, I have to leave it there. Listen, thanks a lot
for everything you do, Mike.
All right, I appreciate you checking in. That's about the best answer I can come up with, because you know, my grown kids who are scattered around the country have asked me the same question. You know, when they call in, hey Dad, now my son Chris, who's a firefighter, well, he's got that on hold right now because he's going to nursing school, but while his wife goes to medical school, I like that. Chris, who has had the necessary emergency training, he's a firefighter. He's kind of, sort of, got a plan of action. But my daughters have asked me, what what do you think we should do? And this is the best I can come up with. Now, they have children. And, you know, they call home and, you know, hey, Pop, what are we supposed to, you know, what's your advice on this one? And I can't, you know, other than what John and I were just talking about, what are you going to do? We have, at the helm of this country, you know, let me step aside from all the nasty words. We just have a group of incompetents at a time in the history of this planet, not just this country, but this planet, when the most serious scientific competence is needed. You know, when as far as I'm concerned, all religious superstition and mythology should be tossed away for the time being. There should, you know, do that over there. Go do it in church. Do it in your backyard, whatever. But when it comes to running the government, no conversations with God, you know, no visions, no divine revelations. Just concentrate on science and the ability that has taken millions of years to evolve in the human mind to look at a problem and solve it. Now, whether the problem is an approaching viral attack or an approaching change in global climate that is going to have profound effects, whatever it is, you know, the superstition and the mythology and the chanting and the praying and all this other stuff, fine, good, great, if that's your thing, but let's lay it down for a minute and face some here and now problems. And that's the best I can come up with, and it's not very good. This is Air America. We'll be right back.
Ay, 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 canta y no llores, porque cantando se alegran cielito lindo.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Your lawn's enemy, grubs. Their mission? To destroy your lawn. So, backed by Bayer's 100-plus years of crop science expertise, Bayer Advanced created season-long grub control with Merit, number one choice of professionals. No other formula kills more grubs, plus a single application protects your lawn for an entire season. Guaranteed. To grubs, it's the end of the road. To lawns, a new lease on life. Bayer Advanced season-long grub control. Better science, better results.
My name's Rachel, and in 8 years, I'll be an alcoholic.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
I'll start drinking in middle school, and I'll do some things I don't really want to do. So by the time my parents talk to me about it, alcohol won't be my only problem.
So start talking before they start drinking. To learn more, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. Less than 2 years after being tapped by President Bush to take over the Central Intelligence Agency, Porter Goss suddenly resigned Friday. A senior official described the decision as a mutual understanding between Goss and Bush. Some veteran CIA officers have complained about Goss's management style and the numerous resignations and retirements of agency veterans since he took over. Jim Walsh, a senior researcher with MIT's Security Studies Program, doesn't think Goss resigned to help the president's poll numbers.
If you thought the change was going to help you raise your poll numbers, you'd let people talk about it for a couple of days, and then you'd announce it with great fanfare, and you'd announce it at the beginning of a news cycle, not just before the weekend started.
Neither Bush nor Goss said why he was resigning, and the president has not named a successor. Rhode Island Congressman Patrick Kennedy says he is immediately seeking treatment at the Mayo Clinic for an addiction to prescription drugs. The announcement came a day after he was involved in a crash in Washington that he blamed on medicine and taking the sleep aid Ambien. At the time, the son of Senator Edward Kennedy said he had no recollection of getting out of bed early Thursday morning, driving, or the accident. Kennedy says his first priority is to serve his constituents.
The greatest honor in my public life is to serve the people of Rhode Island, and I'm determined to address this issue so that I can continue to fight for the families of Rhode Island with the same dedication and rigor that I have exemplified over the past decade.
The Rhode Island Democrat crashed his car into a security barrier in the early morning hours after allegedly mixing prescription drugs. Israel says the target of its airstrikes Friday in the Gaza Strip was being used as a training camp by Palestinian militant groups, which it has blamed for launching rockets into Israel. Five Palestinians were killed in the airstrike. Though Israel has recently stepped up military strikes against what it says were the launching points for attacks, it is the first airstrike since Israel's new government and new prime minister took office Thursday. White House spokesman Scott McClellan says it has been a real honor to serve President Bush and the American people. Friday was McClellan's last day as press secretary. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Bienvenidos. So many distinguished Hispanic Americans in the Jardín de Rosas. Mi casa es su casa.
Jardín de Rosa. Mi casa es su casa. Jardín de Rosa. Welcome to La Casa Blanca.
I love it when he talks that way.
Too bad he's responsible for much, responsible for so much chaos and death and destruction. He's like the fifth horseman of the apocalypse. Otherwise, it would be great comic relief. You know, if the economy were humming, if we weren't in debt, out to the fifth generation yet unborn, thanks to this bastard. If we weren't involved in killing people and having our own people murdered, you know, if none of that was going on, if everything was fine and we just needed comic relief, this doofus would have been the perfect selection to stick in the White House. Wouldn't he have been? Lunatic son of a bitch. Jesus, have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? Jodine, or is it Jodine calling from St. Paul? Jodine?
Well, yep, it's actually Joden.
Joden, my bad.
Yep.
Welcome to the
no
program.
No problem at all. It's an honor to talk to you. The reason I'm calling today is regarding Bush and getting him impeached. There's been a lot of talk in the media about different ways of getting him impeached, whether the representatives in the House are going to do it, whether states are going to do it individually. But for some reason, there's not been any talk about, well, the Jefferson Manual, which is part of the House rules,
right,
sets forth the different ways in which a president can get impeached. And one of them is actually very direct, something each citizen can actually do. And nobody's talked about it. I don't know why this hasn't been in the media or what have you, but something I've done in conjunction with an organization I'm part of is I've researched the House rules, the Jefferson Manual, precedent for previous impeachments, not of a president, but of a judge in one case that has been impeached through this very same process. And what I've done is I've kind of streamlined it, the process, and put it on the web, on my organization's website, so that people can actually directly do something to initiate the impeachment of President Bush. Pretty much what it is, it's equivalent legally to our representatives in the House putting forth that resolution they're working on. Can't remember the resolution number, but or the states impeaching and sending that into the House judiciary. The point is there are many ways to initiate the process to get it into the House Judiciary Committee. And this is one way, and it's more direct. You don't have to wait for your representatives to act on your behalf. You can actually do it yourself.
All right, let me stop you just a second. I'll ask you for the website if it's not too complicated. People can check it out. But is it not true, this is my understanding, and since you seem to know more about this than I do, is it not true that no matter what tactic or what strategy is used, the bottom line is the strategy or the tactic has to go through the House Judiciary Committee, and if it comes from outside the House, like coming from a state legislature or an individual, it has to be presented, this request for a bill of impeachment or an impeachment hearing, to the clerk of the House, who in turn hands it off to the Speaker of the House, who is Dennis Hastert, who in turn has the right to just throw it in the trash.
You're correct.
Okay. Well, my point is, if that is true, then all the efforts can come to naught unless we have gotten rid of the Republican majority in the House. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you're correct and you're not correct in one respect. What we're trying to do is not, we don't necessarily think that any one of these memorials, they're called memorials, will impeach him directly. But our intent, there are several intents, but one is to add pressure. We're sending it to the House Judiciary, care of John Conyers. Now, John Conyers is somebody who's obviously been very supportive of the impeachment process. Mm-hmm. And this, having, let's say, flooding his office with thousands or millions of these things, we've already had 5,000 of these things downloaded already. flooding his office with these gives him something that he can talk about. Say, look what the people are doing, and help to pressure the Republican members of Congress, because it's possible that we won't take back the Democratic majority in November. And if we don't, our strategy has to not rely on it. And like with Nixon, it's possible to get some of these Republicans to turn on Bush. It's already starting to happen.
Well, again, if you don't mind, if I can interrupt, the Republicans that were in existence in the mid-70s who approached Nixon are nothing like Republicans who exist today. The Republicans today are thugs. They are bought and paid for by some of the most vile corporations on this planet. I call them vile because they are ending the planet. So the comparison between Republicans who went to Nixon and said, these articles of impeachment are going to happen and you are going to be voted out of office, those kinds of Republicans don't exist anymore. They're dead, or gone, or on another, in another dimension. So you can't count on that. That's A. Here's B. If the Democrats don't take back both the House and the Senate, if the Democrats don't take back at least one of the houses, preferably the House of Representatives, then the experiment in self-government in this country is finished, and everything else becomes moot. Bush did not win the first presidential election, 2000. He was not reelected, and yet this sick bastard declares that he has a mandate. So all I'm saying to you is I hear what you're saying, but let's not go off half-cocked here with all sorts of plans and schemes that go nowhere. If you have a website, let's give the website and let people go to that site and download it and
sure.
Take a look, all right? And that's better than you and I continued to bat this back and forth. So what is the web address?
The web address is impeachforpeace.org.
Impeach for peace, and you spell out the word for, F-O-R?
That's correct.
Okay, so it's all spelled out, impeachforpeace.org.
.org, yep.
Okay, all right, let's have people go to that and see what what you've got going there, Jodan, okay?
Great. Well, thank you for giving me the chance.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks, Jodan. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. We'll talk again. I don't want to come across as negative about any of this. I was just at, I moderated an impeachment forum in Sacramento. And we'll probably be doing more of the same. And there are three very clear allegations that can be made. Articles of impeachment can be converted to articles of impeachment against this sick bastard. But the process by which impeachment begins, which is indictment. And remember, impeachment is not removal from office. It is indictment. It's the equivalent of indictment. The Senate decides whether or not someone's going to be removed from office, not the House. So in order for that process to begin, and to begin on a solid basis, I do believe that there has to be Democratic majorities, and even that in both houses, and even that is not a guarantee, because you and I both know the cowardice of the leadership to a great extent of the Democratic Party. If it's not cowardice, it is because they are Democrats in name only. They are, as Bartkop calls them, pink tutu Democrats, and they're terrified of their own shadows. Even if they were back in a position of majority power, I wonder if they would have the courage to remove this criminal band of thugs from office. So we'll see. On the other hand, like I said, I don't want to come across as a cynic. My God, do whatever is necessary. If it's doing all this research and coming up with a way, just remember who the gatekeeper is. The gatekeeper is Dennis Hastert. And it makes no difference. It makes no difference how much research, how much effort. If Dennis Hastert and his leaden ass is still blocking the way to removing this crime family, it'll be that way until Dennis Hastert is gone. You understand what I'm saying? That's just the way the law of this land is. There's no getting around that. There's no way to get around that. It's amazing to find out, the Jefferson stuff that state legislatures do have the right to invoke or suggest impeachment. But still, the gatekeeper is Dennis Hastert, or, you know, the Speaker of the House. And in this case, it's another criminal. It's this Dennis Hastert. So, yeah, keep struggling, keep fighting, keep organizing, always. Don't ever stop. Sending a million of these downloadable documents to a Democrat, though, I question, you know, if what value that has. Maybe they should all be sent to somebody who is mentally unstable to begin with, and that might flip them over the edge. Let me see, who could that be? I know, how about Dick Cheney? We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I was walking in the park and somebody stopped me and said, I'm tired of taping up the leaks in my old vacuum and then having to buy another one every 2 years. I'm going to buy an Orrick. Friends, why should manufacturers stop making throwaway vacuums when you keep buying them? For a vacuum that lasts and lasts, call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and try an 8-pound Oreck XL risk-free for 30 days.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit SearchDogFoundation.org. Made possible by SearchDog USA.
border to border and coast to coast. The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
21. Oops. Didn't mean to step on your tongue, Faison. 21 past the hour. I just got an email from a friend at CNN. Yeah, I still have some friends at CNN. CNN is reporting now that Bush has decided that Air Force General Michael Hayden is going to replace Peter Goss as director of the CIA. Porter Goss. What did I say, Peter? Porter Goss. This, of course, depends on confirmation by the Senate. And you know the Democrats could stop it. Oh, never mind. What am I saying? Now, Hayden, remember who Hayden is. He was the director of the NSA, National Security Agency, in way back in 2001 when these pigs began the spying program on American citizens, the scope of which is still unknown. But we do know that it was massive. It was all-inclusive. It had nothing to do with a war on anything except a war on the American people. And this was this Air Force general psychopath, Michael Hayden, was director of the NSA when Bush authorized this, and I had to go through Hayden's office. Now Hayden has since been bumped up to he is the assistant to John Negroponte. He's the deputy to National Intelligence Director John Negroponte. And Negroponte, remember, is the man who spent the better part of a decade organizing death squads all over Central America and then about 6 months organizing death squads in Iraq. Negroponte is the devil incarnate. If there is such a thing as a demon, a beast, John Negroponte is that creature. Rough times ahead. If you don't know how to use a weapon, learn. I can't stress that enough. I feel that in the bottom of my soul, and it hurts. And it's scary. It scares the hell out of me. Don't be a sitting duck. You understand what I'm saying? I believe that. I wonder if the time is going to come, Kathy, when we have to organize neighborhood defense committees. I wonder how. I do. I just wonder how close we are to some strange science fiction novel scenario set in the not too distant future. You know, of American citizens who have to organize like that, who, you know, like North Vietnam, like Iraq, the East Timor fighters who are struggling against the government in that country, like, you know, in like Subcomandante Zero in southern Mexico. You know, I just wonder, I don't know. I hate thinking this stuff. I'd much rather think about, you know, hanging out with my wife and my kid and going to visit the grandchildren and hearing about something that one of my daughters or my son did that, you know, makes the parent proud and, you know, just kind of like, yeah, hey, life is good. You know what I'm saying? Okay, let's go back to your phone calls here. Hold on here just a second. How about Robert, who is called in from Miami? Robert, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hello, Mike. Yes, this is. I was just monitoring with a mute button on, monitoring to see what was going to be on Nightline an hour ago, and so it comes on, and that great Martin Bashir, the Michael Jackson documentary producer, who they, you know, installed in Nightline now, the hard-hitting guy.
Oh my God!
I expect him to do a report, you would think, today, the big news about the CIA guy resigning, possibly involved in this prostitution scandal at the Watergate. I'm talking about Republicans being dumb. They have these parties at the Watergate. I mean, that's good PR right there.
I know.
But so I turned it on, and I started laughing out loud because here's their story for the entire half hour, apparently, you know. Toddler versus toddler. The tight competition to get into Manhattan preschools.
Oh, my God!
The subtitle, Power, Privilege, and Preschool.
That was in the New York Times style section about 6 weeks ago, or 2 months or 3 months ago, and the public editor at the New York Times was inundated with letters from people who said, what in the hell is this all about?
Well, what's really hilarious is these things are all, they're called, you know, they used to be called, back when Nightline used to be a real show years ago, they would occasionally do these things, but whenever anything big happened, they would always set that on the shelf and they would do a real story, right?
We're, Robert, we're in hell. We're in hell and we're going to have to fight our way out. Pal, I have to leave it there. Thanks for checking in. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
Hey, truth seekers, the Republican fools put an idiot in the White House. Bush's war machine is bankrupting our country, and middle-class America is screwed again. Hi, I'm Mike Malloy, and it's time Bush and his cronies get what they deserve, and you can be the one to make it happen. Go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, and get your revenge by sending a conservative criminal to federal prison or to the Iraq War. Impeached doesn't pull any punches, folks. And if you haven't ordered your game yet, go to ImpeachBushGame.com and do it today.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
We'll be right back.
We're at the point in George Orwell's 1984 where Winston Smith has been tortured for an indeterminate period of time. He has no idea. And finally, the torture seems to be easing up. And that's where we pick up the story. He was much better. He was growing fatter and stronger every day. If it was proper to speak of days. The white light and the humming sound were the same as ever, but the cell was a little more comfortable than the others he had been in. There was a pillow and a mattress and a plank bed and a stool to sit on. They had given him a bath, and they allowed him to wash himself fairly frequently in a tin basin. They even gave him warm water to wash with. They had given him new underclothes and a clean suit of overalls. They had dressed his varicose ulcer with some soothing ointment. They had pulled out the remnants of his teeth and given him a new set of dentures. Weeks or months must have passed. It would have been possible now to keep count of the passage of time if he had felt any interest in doing so, since he was being fed at what appeared to be regular intervals. He was getting, he judged, 3 meals in the 24 hours. Sometimes he wondered dimly whether he was getting them by night or by day. The food was surprisingly good, with meat at every third meal. Once there was even a packet of cigarettes. He had no matches, but the never-speaking guard who brought his food would give him a light. The first time he tried to smoke, it made him sick, but he persevered and spun the packet out for a long time, smoking half a cigarette after each meal. They had given him a white slate with a stump of pencil tied to the corner. At first he made no use of it. Even when he was awake, he was completely torpid. Often he would lie from one meal to the next almost without stirring, sometimes asleep, sometimes waking into vague reveries in which it was too much trouble to open his eyes. He had long grown used to sleeping with the strong light on his face. It seemed to make no difference except that one's dreams were more coherent. He dreamed a great deal all through this time, and they were always happy dreams. He was in the Golden Country. Or he was sitting among enormous, glorious, sunlit ruins with his mother, with Julia, with O'Brien, not doing anything, merely sitting in the sun, talking of peaceful things. Such thoughts as he had when he was awake were mostly about his dreams. He seemed to have lost the power of intellectual effort now that the stimulus of pain had been removed. He was not bored. He had no desire for conversation or distraction, merely to be alone, not to be beaten or questioned, to have enough to eat, and to be clean all over was completely satisfying. By degrees, he came to spend less time in sleep, but he still felt no impulse to get off the bed. All he cared for was to lie quiet and feel the strength gathering in his body. He would finger himself here and there, trying to make sure that it was not an illusion that his muscles were growing rounder and his skin tauter. Finally, it was established beyond a doubt that he was growing fatter. His thighs were now definitely thicker than his knees. After that, reluctantly at first, he began exercising himself regularly. In a little while, he could walk 3 kilometers, measured by pacing the cell, and his bowed shoulders were growing straighter. He attempted more elaborate exercises and was astonished and humiliated to find what things he could not do. He could not move out of a walk. He could not hold his stool out at arm's length. He could not stand on one leg without falling over. He squatted down on his heels and found that with agonizing pains in thigh and calf, he could just lift himself to a standing position. He lay flat on his belly and tried to lift his weight by his hands. It was hopeless. He could not raise himself a centimeter. But after a few more days, a few more meal times, even that feat was accomplished. A time came when he could do it 6 times running. He began to grow actually proud of his body and to cherish an intermittent belief that his face also was growing back to normal. Only when he chanced to put his hand on his bald scalp did he remember the seamed, ruined face that had looked back at him out of the mirror. His mind grew more active. He sat down on the plank bed, his back against the wall and the slate on his knees, and set to work deliberately at the task of re-educating himself. He had capitulated. That was agreed. In reality, as he saw now, he had been ready to capitulate long before he had taken the decision. From the moment when he was inside the Ministry of Love, and yes, even during those minutes when he and Julia had stood helpless, while the iron voice from the telescreen told him what to do, he had grasped the frivolity, the shallowness of his attempt to set himself up against the power of the party. He knew now that for 7 years the thought police had watched him like a beetle under a magnifying glass. There was no physical act, no word spoken that they had not noticed, no train of thought that they had not been able to infer. Even the speck of whitish dust on the cover of his diary they had carefully replaced. They had played soundtracks to him, shown him photographs. Some of them were photographs of Julia and himself. Yes, even, well, he could not fight against the party any longer. Besides, the party was in the right. It must be so. How could the immortal collective brain be mistaken? By what external standard could you check its judgments? Sanity was statistical. It was merely a question of learning to think as they thought. Only, the pencil felt thick and awkward in his fingers. He began to write down the thoughts that came into his head. He wrote first in large, clumsy capitals, "Freedom is slavery." Then, almost without a pause, he wrote beneath it, "Two and two make five." But then there came a sort of check. His mind, as though shying away from something, seemed unable to concentrate. He knew that he knew what came next, but for the moment he could not recall it. When he did recall it, it was only by consciously reasoning out what it must be. It did not come of its own accord. He wrote, "God is power." He accepted everything. The past was alterable. The past never had been altered. Oceania was at war with East Asia. Oceania had always been at war with East Asia. Jones, Aronson, and Rutherford were guilty of the crimes they were charged with. He had never seen the photograph that disproved their guilt. It had never existed. He had invented it. He remembering contrary things, but those were false memories, products of self-deception. How easy it all was. Only surrender, and everything else followed. It was like swimming against a current that swept you backwards, however hard you struggled, and then suddenly deciding to turn around and go with the current instead of opposing it. Nothing changed except your own attitude. The predestined thing happened in any case. He hardly knew why he had ever rebelled. Everything was easy except anything could be true. The so-called laws of nature were nonsense. The law of gravity was nonsense. If I wished, O'Brien had said, I could float off this floor like a soap bubble. Winston worked it out. If he thinks he floats off the floor, and if I simultaneously think I see him do it, then the thing happens. Suddenly, like a lump of submerged wreckage breaking the surface of water, the thought burst into his mind, it doesn't really happen. We imagine it. It is hallucination. He pushed the thought under instantly. The fallacy was obvious. It presupposed that somewhere or other, outside oneself, there was a real world where real things happened. But how could there be such a world? What knowledge have we of anything save through our own minds? All happenings are in the mind. Whatever happens in all minds truly happens. He had no difficulty in disposing of the fallacy, and he was in no danger of succumbing to it. He realized, nevertheless, that it ought never to have occurred to him. The mind should develop a blind spot whenever a dangerous thought presented itself. The process should be automatic, instinctive. Crime stop, they called it in Newspeak. He set to work to exercise himself in crime stop. He presented himself with propositions. The party says the earth is flat. The party says that ice is heavier than water, and trained himself in not seeing or not understanding the arguments that contradicted them. It was not easy. It needed great powers of reasoning and improvisation. The arithmetical problems raised, for instance, by such statements as 2 and 2 make 5, were beyond his intellectual grasp. It needed also a sort of athleticism of mind, an ability at one moment to make the most delicate use of logic, and at the next to be unconscious of the crudest logical errors. Stupidity was as necessary as intelligence, and as difficult to attain. All the while, with one part of his mind, he wondered how soon they would shoot him. "Everything depends on yourself," O'Brien had said. But he knew that there was no conscious act by which he could bring it nearer. It might be 10 minutes hence or 10 years. They might keep him for years in solitary confinement. They might send him to a labor camp. They might release him for a while, as they sometimes did. It was perfectly possible that before he was shot, the whole drama of his arrest and interrogation would be enacted all over again. The one certain thing was that death never came at an expected moment. The tradition, the unspoken tradition, somehow you knew it, though you never heard it said, the tradition was that they shot you from behind, always in the back of the head,
without warning, as you walk down a corridor from cell to cell. One day was not the right expression, just as probably it was in the middle of the night. Once, he felt a strange, blissful reverie. He was walking down the corridor, waiting for the bullet. He knew that it was coming in another moment. Everything was settled, smoothed out, reconciled. There were no more doubts, no more arguments, no more pain, no more fear. His body was healthy and strong. He walked easily, with a joy of movement and with a feeling of walking in sunlight. He was not any longer in the narrow white corridors of the Ministry of Love. He was in the enormous sunlit passage, a kilometer wide, down which he had seemed to walk in the delirium induced by drugs. He was in the golden country, following the foot track across the old rabbit-cropped pasture. He could feel the short, springy turf under his feet and the gentle sunshine on his face. At the edge of the field, there were elm trees, faintly stirring, and somewhere beyond that was the stream where the dace lay in the green pools under the willows.
La luna me dice una cosa, las estrellas me dicen otra, la luz del día me canta.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have Geico motorcycle insurance. Because Geico covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malone.
Nine minutes before the hour. We ought to do some of this Latino music other than just Cinco de Mayo. This has been nice music tonight. Thanks, Gabby. And thanks to our production crew, Justin Yuen and Jason Isaac, engineered the program in New York. D. Neal, handle your phone calls. We already said welcome back to D the other night, right? Yeah, okay, well, welcome back again. Our senior correspondent is Chris in Minnesota. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. Ben Birch archives this program at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. Let's squeeze in some more phone calls here. RB is calling from Saskatoon, Canada. RB, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
So Cindy Sheehan was up in Ottawa.
How was she?
Yeah, she was up here in Canada. Appealing to the Canadian government to grant sanctuary to conscientious objectors, people who don't want to go over and kill innocent people or have a problem with the war.
Mm-hmm. What kind of reception did she get from the...
Very good.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. We have a long tradition, if you remember, during Vietnam, too.
Right. Now, she's talking about provincial government or...
Federal.
Federal government.
To the federal government. But, I mean, there's more than 2,000 soldiers up here already. There's been some problems with the courts and everything, and appeals are being made. But the thing is, the more and more truth gets out about what's actually going on, Canada right now is split 50-50 on Afghanistan. We've got troops over there. Four came home in body bags.
Mm-hmm.
And the new prime minister, conservative, a minority government, decided that not to raise the peace flag down to half mast for these soldiers because they're expecting more. And he kept the press away from the repatriation ceremony when they come back down, just like Bush did, and that didn't go over at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there's one of the soldiers' fathers at the memorial ceremony afterwards showed the repatriation ceremony by a video and said, here's what Stephen Harper didn't want you to see, and he had the press come by, and so it's pretty bad. And I think that Afghanistan is just as bad as Iraq. We shouldn't be there, but there's no reason to be there either, except for, of course, oil and strategic reasons of power.
Well, I think a case could have been made back in late 71 when supposedly the training camps were established there, and supposedly the supposed or alleged leader, Osama bin Laden,
was
ready to be caught, and they let him go. Although, you know, bin Laden has never claimed responsibility, unlike this freak Moussaoui. Who wanted to claim everything up to and including the assassination of Abraham Lincoln.
I think Moussaoui was more than a little bit mentally imbalanced and may have been helped along.
So. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Is, well, with the Patriot Act and the fact that they were flying the Marine flag instead of the normal American flag on the flagpole outside the courthouse, they flew the flag with the fringes, meaning that, in actual fact, they're claiming that was a military tribunal, not really a civic trial. That's why they could introduce all those extenuating circumstances at the end, showing all the horrible things to the jury in hopes to get them to kill them so they could, the neocons could have their closure.
Well, I'm thinking about in this country, thought it was a military trial. It was a civilian judge.
I know, but they're flying the wrong flag out front. There's something.
Well, you know, this is America. We do all kinds of stupid stuff. We have a president that, has made 750 signing statements that says, yeah, I'm signing this bill, but I'm not going to do what the Constitution dictates me to do. So, you know, flag schmags.
Well, Cindy Sheehan said that today on CBC Radio when they were interviewing her.
Yeah.
She brought up the signing statements, everything. She was magnificent. The guy who interviewed her was trying to get her to say that she's being used by the left. You know, he was trying to be balanced because though he's a CBC employee, he has to follow the government kind of line. But he said, personally, he didn't think the Iraq war was good, but he thinks we should be in Afghanistan.
You know, when somebody says to someone who is dedicated to the cause, whatever the cause is, or sincere as Cindy Sheehan is, you know, you think you're being used by the left. Were I that person, I would immediately, I don't care what the consequences would be, I'll spend a year in jail, I would immediately slap that person right across the face.
Well, she did verbally.
Yeah,
she said, nobody owns me. I mean, I was there before Michael Moore came along. I've met the guy once, so he was trying to say this Michael Moore stuff.
She said,
you know, nobody uses me. I've made my statements. I stand by it. And I was here sitting in the dust when nobody else was around but the flies, you know, in front of Crawford. And she was just magnificent how she stood up for herself and mentioned everything, including the fact that any soldier who is aware of the truth and may, you know, about why we're in Afghanistan, why we're in Iraq, the lies, there comes a point, and it's in both the Canadian and American military code of justice, that the soldier is obligated not to follow an immoral law. So if somebody says, you got to torture that guy, you are obligated not to. Mm-hmm. There's no, like as established in Nuremberg, there is no excuse. I was just following orders.
That's right.
God, we need our soldiers to understand that more now than ever. There's the possibility that we could reverse this at the military level if enough, you know, non-coms, non-Bush-appointed generals and stuff get the message. They could turn it around themselves inside.
Well, I understand that possibility always exists, but
General Smedley Butler, remember?
Well, I do, but I also remember the last time there was a mutiny of that, to any degree, that at least made history, was the one against Captain Bligh, the mutiny on the Bounty. Hey, listen, RB, I got to leave you there.
Great.
Thanks, pal. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. Take care. Have a good weekend. Vaya con Dios, you're playing? Oh, my God, that was popular when I was a kid. That's an old song. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kenny, wherever you are, mi amigo. Thanks for participating in the program. However you did that tonight, I'll see you Monday. Take care. Have a good weekend. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
If you listen with your heart, you'll hear them sing.
I love this song. Bring it up again.
Vaya con Dios, my darling.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Do you want to know what's really going on in U.S. foreign and domestic policy? Then read Noam Chomsky's brilliant new book, Failed States. The New York Times calls Noam Chomsky a global phenomenon, perhaps the most widely read voice on foreign policy on the planet. Now, the best-selling author exposes our use of military force for what it is, a warning sign that America has become as dangerous as the failed states we claim we're trying to fix. Read Failed States by Noam Chomsky, new in hardcover from Metropolitan Books.
You're on the Ovaltine Nutrition Hotline with nutritionist Felicia Stoller.
Hi, I just found out that I'm lactose intolerant, but I love chocolate milk. Can I still use Ovaltine?
You sure can. Just add rich chocolate Ovaltine to your lactose-free milk. Not only does Ovaltine make lactose-free milk taste better, it also makes it better for you. That's because rich chocolate Ovaltine has 16 vitamins and minerals. So turn lactose-free milk into delicious chocolate milk that's really nutritious with rich chocolate Ovaltine.
More Ovaltine, please!